fortunate. There are a lot of people that God used in my life when I first became a Christian, and I have one of my Bibles. I have all of them written down, how he used them all, and most of them have passed on and have been great examples, great blessings to me, and I thank God that I can think back on those times and remember them. And then we know that a lot of people, because of sicknesses and diseases, begin to lose their memory. Some people don't even remember their children when they're right there in front of them. It's a sad, sad thing. And we have seen that happen in members of our family and over the years. And it's not an easy thing to deal with. So don't take for granted your memory of the good times as well as the hard times, because all those things work together, God says, for good. But especially people. Paul is reminding us in this lesson that he took time to remember and to thank God for those people at Philippi. So let's look at that passage again in Philippians chapter 1, and we'll read the first five verses one more time together here. He says, Paul and Timothy, as the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance. Every time I think of you, he says, I offer thanksgiving to God. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is in a situation where he is very, very thankful as God's Holy Spirit is moving upon him to pen this letter, not just for the saints at Philippi, but for us to have on our laps today. That God has preserved that, because there's things that God wants to learn from Paul's writing this area of his gratitude and his joy for the fellow saints that he had a part in establishing. Remember, Paul had the vision, the Macedonia call vision. He was going to go up into another region, and as he was making preparation, the Holy Spirit bade him not to go. He actually went later, but here is a situation where he was wanting to go somewhere to take the gospel, and you would think it would be okay, but God said, no, I don't want you going there. There was a second place that he began to turn to go, and God says, no. It says the Holy Spirit again forbade him a second time. And then he, that night, laid his head down, and he's with Timothy, he's with Luke, he's with other men that are there, and all of a sudden God gives him a vision, and it's a man over in Macedonia. Macedonia is a region where you have Philippi, you have Thessalonica, you have all the great letters that were written to these local churches, and he has a vision that there's a man going, come over here and help us. Folks, I tell you what, if you get a vision after you've been told no and no by the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden God gives you a vision, that's clear direction. And he makes it very clear. He says, and immediately we departed. He didn't waste any time getting to where God's final destination was. And we know that he gets there. There's no church there. There's no saints there. And so he goes to a ladies' meeting. I guess they were meeting down by the river. And he begins to speak to these women. And there was one that the Bible calls Lydia, who God opened her heart. She is the first convert of this church. Later, as he's preaching and going through Philippi, there's a woman who has a demon in her of divination, and she's going around proclaiming, these are men of the Most High God. And by the way, God doesn't need Satan's advertisements, amen? And so she's going around continually, and the disciples are going, man, this woman's crazy, get her out of here. And finally, she continues on, Paul commands the demon to come out. She becomes the second convert of this. So we have two women, vast difference. One was a businesswoman who was a seller of purple, very, very wealthy, had the Paul and all of the people come into the home, welcome them in, and then now we have this woman here, and then we have, because of the conversion of these, we have an uproar goes, because this woman was, demon was cast out, remember. Her people who were using her to make money off of her get upset, turn the city up against Paul. Paul is arrested. He's thrown into prison. And at midnight, him and Silas are praying. Folks, that's what God's will lead you to sometimes. And here Silas are praying, and they're singing praises at midnight. All the prisoners hear them, and at midnight, an earthquake takes place. And the jail shakes. The doors all come off their hinges. The bonds they have of them break loose. And the Philippian jailer wakes from a sleep, thinking that everybody has fled. And he ends up getting ready to commit Harry Carey as a Roman soldier. And Paul says, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And as he comes in, he falls down on his knees, this Roman guard. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Folks, I don't know if they personally witnessed him prior to this, but he heard the singing. He heard the prayer. And he probably heard why Paul was arrested and thrown into prison. And there's your third conversion there. He takes Paul and Silas out of the prison, takes them home, cleanses their stripes, and they were beaten and scourged, and his whole family is converted. This is the Philippi church, and that's just a few of them. No wonder Paul said, "You're not going up there yet. I've got people that are literally right on the vine. They're ready to be saved. And I'm bringing you here." These are the people that Paul is writing to. These are the people that are Hebrews 12 talks about, that are watching from above. These are the people that are rooting for you and me to keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And they're reminding us that the great cloud of witnesses are looking at their rooms for us. And one day, that trumpet's going to sound. The loved ones that are in our memories right now that died in Christ are going to be raised. We're going to be changed, all of us. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air to be with them. And you will meet that Philippian jailer. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. There are so many saints that you and I are going to get to enjoy to meet that we have no what they look like. Now, when I preach and when I'm teaching, when I'm studying, I visualize who these people look like sometimes. You ever get a phone call from somebody and you hear their voice and you're trying to visualize the voice match with what they look like? Sometimes you'll be surprised. But these are the people that he's writing to. These are the people that have brought great memories to him. Can you think of saints, fellow believers, that when you think back on them, maybe they're past, maybe they're present, it's just like, praise the Lord for so-and-so and so-and-so. That family was such a blessing to us. That's what Paul's doing. And by the way, while he's doing this, while he's penning this, Paul is in the Roman prison. It's interesting because Philippians is known as the book of joy. And it's not because he's on a vacation. It's not because he's living the high life. It's not because he is doing quite well in his circumstances. He is in a prison, and he's not going to be released. He is awaiting his execution. And we have looked at, as we look at this study here in Philippians, the first week we talked about this area of thanks for the memories, and we talked about a couple of things here. We talked about the memories of the past, which we all have, amen? And I think the older you get, two things happen. The more memories you have, the older you get, the more precious those memories become. If you don't believe me, just wait around. They will become more and more precious to you. And we talked about those memories of the past. And as he thought about these people with joy, he remembered first off their common salvation, what Christ had paid to bring them together. Folks, we made mention last week and the week before that you and I probably would not even know each other outside of Jesus Christ. I would not know Brian and Bonnie if it wasn't for Christ. Because if they weren't saved and I wasn't saved, we'd be somewhere else and never would have met. Think about the working of God. Some of you, listen, this is kind of cool. Some of you would not be married to the person you're married to if it wasn't for Christ. Ain't that right? You never would have met them. God knows what he's doing. And so he's thanking them, and as he's thinking back, he goes, our common salvation. I remember Lydia at the river. I remember you when you were going around declaring, these are the men of the Most High God, and you didn't even know God. And now you can say you're a woman of the Most High God. And you can truly declare what these great things he's done for you. He remembers these things, and it just brings joy to him. And he talked about their common service, how they served the Lord together. And that's what we're trying to do today. So his past memories were just a joy and a blessing to him. And we should have the same kind of blessings as we think back. I think about my first deacon in his life, the joy they were. A lot of times I've been around preachers enough where they talk about the pastors and the demons. And then they say, oh, I mean the deacons. I never cared for that. That is a God-ordained office. And you got to be very careful how you speak about those situations. But I remember my deacons, the deacons we have here are great and wonderful. They are a part of the present memories. You are a part of my present memories. And hopefully, listen, I hope you'll be a present memory and not a past memory because you passed on. Now, if you pass on, that's still a good thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to be present with the Lord is better than to be present with Kevin. I'll guarantee you that, amen. So he began to also be grateful for the memories of the present, the saints that were there, that were serving with him. He remembered their uncommon love. They understood agape love, and they showed agape love to him and to Silas and to the work that God had called them to. And then he remembered also their uncommon labor. These people supported him. This church supported Paul financially when no other church did. It makes it clear. Sometimes we quote that verse in Philippians 4 where he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. He's writing to a church that was supporting missions. The only church at that point in time was the Philippian church. He goes, no other church did that. And so he's commending them on these memories. He remembered all of these things. They prayed for him. Man, they prayed for him. They sent one of their bishops, Epaphroditus, to go to him and to minister to him, who ended up serving with Paul and was even sick unto death. He just kept serving and wouldn't slow down. Paul remembers all of these things. So he remembers the memories of the past. He remembers the memories of the present. But lastly, as we close out this thing here for this morning here, I want you to see he has memories of the positive, of the positive. When you read the book of Philippians, you're going to notice that this is a very positive writing of Scripture. You will find very little negative in it. Matter of fact, there's only one place I can find any negative speech in here, and he's using the negative situation to encourage two women. In Philippians chapter 4, look over there real quickly here. In Philippians 4, you'll know the story that there was two women within the church who was converted later. He says in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. That shows the love that he had. My joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he says, I beseech, I plead, and I beg with Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Evidently, these two what they were out of sorts of, but they were having a disagreement in some area, and he's saying, in this negative situation, Christ died for you. You have this oneness, you have this love, you guys are my joy, you're my crown. Get past that. And as he wrote later in chapter 2 of Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lay down whatever it is, it's not that important. Do Christians ever get involved in things that are not that important? Do they ever? Are they things that can cause problems in the church to bring in some negative vibes? Absolutely. We're not, those things aren't absent from any church. What I want us to understand that this church at Philippi was not a perfect church. Matter of fact, I'm a little surprised that it is no such thing as a perfect church. We are all redeemed, blood-bought sinners. Thank God for that, amen. But that's what God is working with. And in the process, he is conforming us. The kids have the song, "He's Still Working on Me," to make me what I ought to be. It took him 6 days to make the sun, moon, and stars, and all the creation, and he's still working on me, and I've been saved for 40-plus years, almost 50, and he's not done yet. But I do have a promise that he which begun that good work in me is going to perform it. There's going to be a completion date for every one of us. And until we hit that, there is no perfect church. There's just a church filled with grace-filled Christians. And so he's just trying to encourage these women to extend the love and the mercy and the grace. That is the only negative thing I could find in this area, which makes this huge in this area of Paul's writings. Too many times, by the way, do you think there was other things? You think there might have been at any point in time some gossip? Do you think that there might have been people that said things at the wrong time to a person? Do you think that there were people that did not shake somebody else's hand? Folks, there probably was. Paul chose to focus on the positive. He spent very little focusing, and a lot of times we as believers, it's easier for us because of our natural sinful nature, it's easier for us to go negative than to go positive. It's easier for us to notice things that you see what they're doing over there, or you see what she said to me, or did you, and we get focused in the negative realm instead of focusing on the positive. Paul probably could have penned several things about this group of people. And he did not. He did not. I want you to look at a couple of things here. And by the way, let me just have you flip over. I want you to flip over to another letter that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, if you would. Go back to the left there a ways. 1 Corinthians. And the 13th chapter, and you all know this is known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul, what Paul is doing as he's writing and he sticks these two women's names in there, he's setting the example of agape love, how it looks. We can read 1 Corinthians 13 and know what it says, that charity suffereth long and is kind. We can go through all of that, but it's easy to quote. Another thing to live it out, to let it go through you. And so Paul is establishing that this church must be built on the love of Christ. And the only way that that can be established is by you and I being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in the Spirit, so that we do not fulfill the negatives, the lust of the flesh. Then that way the Holy Spirit's fruit, which is already abiding in it, may ooze out of us. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5 about charity. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Folks, that's just verse 5. If we could get a grasp on verse 5, where we are living that out, you are, and by the way, charity simply means God's love, agape love. God is love. You're seeing that this is the nature of God. And God's nature now dwells within you, correct? So Paul could say, charity suffer long. He could say, God suffer long. Aren't you glad that God's long-suffering and kind? But as a Christian, now that we have Christ in us, and he's trying to conform us to his image, we should be able to put our name in there. Kevin suffered long and is kind. Kevin envieth not. Kevin vaunts not himself. Kevin is not puffed. That should be able to be placed in there. And that's what Paul's trying to instruct them. Look at verse number 7. Beareth all things. Love beareth all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Verse 8, the very first part. Love, charity never fails. Now, imagine if these two women in the church that are at odds in what they're, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, that they just were out of fellowship with each other. And when you're out of fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ, you are out of fellowship with God himself. So how can you love me, God says, if who you haven't seen, and not get along, basically, with those of you? And so we see this relationship that Paul's trying to reestablish. And by the way, I believe he's already instructed them in all this. And it's easy for us to receive the instruction and then become neglectful in allowing things to come in. So he's giving this here. Look what it says also over in John chapter 13. Sorry I'm having to turn. Actually, I'm not. I know faith comes by hearing, but it's also good to see it sometimes, too. Look at it in John 13. Keep in mind 1 Corinthians 13. Now look at it in John chapter 13, and let's listen to Jesus now, where Paul got this information at. And he tells us in verse 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love. Doesn't say that you have love, but that you have love for one another. See, now you may have a different version of Scripture. You might say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you've got a bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you, right? Didn't make the vision of a bumper sticker there. Or that you wear a cross around your neck. That's how people know. And so here we see clearly that Paul is writing unto them in this area here. He's thanking them for the memories, and these memories are positive. By this shall all men know, Kevin, that you are my disciple. How? If Kevin has love for the other Christians, the other saints. Loving like we ought to love. Solomon, when he was writing the book of Proverbs, says something that's kind of interesting. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse number 12, if you're taking notes, listen to what he tells us here, all the way back here in the Old Testament. Chapter 10, in verse number 12, he says, hatred stirreth up strife. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. We don't like to classify things as God classifies things. We have a disagreement. She thinks this. Well, you think this. Well, you said this. That's why I said that. Then we try to justify it. God said, that's a small phrase. That is hatred. Maybe it's only at a seed, but it will blossom. It's like bitterness, right? You take the bitterness out, or else it's going to uproot and continue to grow and expand. He says, that's actually hatred. Paul was trying to stop what could turn into hatred, and then what happens if the rest of the church follows along, they begin to take sides, and then it begins to grow again. So Paul's trying to keep them away from that area, and it only can be done because of love. In chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse number 9, and I know I'm throwing a lot out there as far as verses of Scripture, but these are good verses. He says in verse number 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends or true friends. So it's important for us to focus on the positive and not the negative. One one negative comment, only one, and that was to encourage them to come back with a positive. Paul did not take sides with those women. He never chose a side. He told them both in a very generous, loving, polite, wise way. Get back with God. You guys get to settle with God, you're going to settle with me. Folks, it's just like any situation in a marriage union. You have, and you've all seen it, you've got that triangle. Here's God up here, and here's my wife, and here's me. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. The same is true of any relationship. And God is wanting us to not just attain that, but to maintain that. It doesn't take long for a little leaven to spread. Churches have split over these things. Christians that were friends for years have parted ways. These are things that Paul is trying to remind them. Do the right thing. Love each other. That's how people, they're going to know that we're his disciples because of this. That we can overcome situations and circumstances and disagreements. Unity. Unity in Christ. So he only had that negative, but man, I tell you what, he had many, many positives. Many positives. As he talked about them, notice back in our text here, he says, I thank my God. But notice what it says here. It's one thing to say, God, thank you for the saints at Regency. And I am thankful for everybody here and those that are not here today because of being out of town or sickness or whatever. Are you thankful for your church? Are you thankful, and do you focus on the positive? I'm not saying, remember the Bible in Scripture where it says, and as much as lieth in thee, as much as lieth in thee, live peaceably with all men. Evidently, we can get and her friend Eutychus, whatever their names are, all right? If they would start having, if Bible people would have normal names, it'd be so much easier. Judy and Sally, all right? Evidently, there are people that you and I can just, man, we can hit it off really well. Amen? You got people you just instantly, your friends, and you got things in common, and because we are all, understand, we're all coming from completely different backgrounds. Some of us are coming out of different cultures. Some of us are coming from different upbringings. Some of you have been brought up in a Christian home all your life. Some of you got saved later in life, and you had things in your past that were pretty vile and stuff, and all of those things build who we are. And sometimes those things can come into an area where we have a tendency to clash. There's, I don't do all the studies on all the different personalities and stuff, but they probably do some to some degree come into the picture. That some people are going to have their natural tendency is to be always upbeat. I mean, they're just always positive, it seems like. And then you have those that are at the other extreme over here that can be, like, I think David got cast down. I think David was a perfect example of both extremes. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? And then over here, he's dancing in the street, praising God. So we have all of those areas that affect us. And if you're at just the right time, you say something just at the wrong time, and that person takes offense to it, it can cause a squabble. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Squabble. do the right thing. Establish oneness again. Establish unity. When you establish unity with one another, you establish peace. And it's the peace of God. You see, it's part of the Holy Spirit. And when you establish the peace of God between these two, what happens is it transforms everything. And it's a peace that passes all. How did those people sit there going out and doing things together? They never did that before. Have you ever met someone in church that you right off the bat thought, oh, I don't know about this person? Huh? And this is our fourth church. We've already been here 6 years. In our seventh year, and whether it's New England, up in New Hampshire, two churches, or here in Texas, two churches, that all the same people go together. They have different names and different faces. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't, there's a Vonda somewhere else where I've pastored before who is smiling and upbeat or whatever. And but their name is Mary. Marion was in my first church, and her dad and her mom were the first deacon and the deacon's wife there. And and sometimes I try to match you folks up with other people. God has placed, the Bible says, each one of you in the body as it has pleased everybody else. As it has pleased you. No. As it has pleased him. So when I began to get in a negative situation with someone over here, I'm actually in a negative situation because God placed that person in this assembly. And so I'm actually not just antagonistic here, but there as well before God. And so Paul is trying to remind us, keep your memories. Thank God. I thank God upon every remembrance of you in making requests of prayer with joy. I was looking at not praying. I just sometimes in my prayer, if you use the church directory in the prayer thing, you have Saturdays Monday through Saturday for praying for people in the church and missionaries. And yesterday I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to get done, other things that I kind of got behind on because my truck wouldn't start when I was going to go out and do something because it needed battery and all that kind of good stuff. And so I had my devotions. I got done reading, and I said, Lord, you know who's on the prayer list. Whatever you hear them pray and ask for, grant that to them, Lord, if it's according to your will. And I was just going to kind of slide it off to the side. Make it a personal confession, you know? And at least I didn't completely quit. You know, I was going to, now I don't know who's on that day, on that Saturday, because they're different Saturdays. And I thought to myself, well, that's not making requests with joy, Kevin. And I said, all right. Who was it that I was not going to pray for? And I grabbed the book. Opened up, and the first one on the list was my wife and me. And then there was Glenn and Gail, and it was couples that are in between the really And I started thinking, man, Lord, I apologize. I think you guys were on it, and the kids and stuff. You guys. And I was convicted that I wasn't praying with joy. And if I'm not praying with joy, I wasn't showing any gratitude for those that were on there. And so I had to take in time and say, Lord, whatever happens, I'm just going to take my time, and I begin to pray through my list again. Paul says every time. There was a frequency in his prayer, and there should be a frequency. I'll tell you what, if you have someone that you feel has offended you, you don't go and talk to other people about it. If you want to talk about it, God says, here I am. I didn't get a single amen on that. Now, I'll be honest with you folks. I've been here for 6 years. I know how you guys are. Some of you more than others. And I'm just going to spill the beans right now. And I'm going to call you by name and tell you, everybody else, what it is. No. Why would I do that? Paul could have probably done that with Philippi, and he says, no, I'm going to stay positive. I went to a church one time for revival. The brother was Brother Tony. I worked with Tony. Tony was a really tall black guy, used to play basketball in college, friendly guy, a good Christian man. And him and I had good fellowship together. And he said, Kevin, he goes, why don't you and Tim come over to our church this week? We're having revival. Sounds good to me. Tim, you want to go? Yeah. So we head over there to this church. I think it was called Mount Zion Baptist Church. We got there, and we were the only two white guys. And we, listen, the skin color made no difference to them. They embraced us. They hugged us. They loved us. They welcomed us in greatly. Greatly. And it was such a joy and a blessing because these were my and are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And God has given us white-skinned folk and dark-skinned folk and in-between-skinned folk. Amen. And to be honest with y'all, I'm white, but I wish I was darker. Amen. I do. When I was in school in California, my friends were a lot of Hispanics and a lot of blacks. That was all before all this other stuff started happening. We all got along really well. I was saying all this to say this. At that revival meeting, that older black preacher was not just preaching powerfully, but he would all of a sudden just start singing. It turned into a hymn that he was using as he was preaching. And he was preaching on God's positive negative. And he goes, if you're wondering what God's positive negative is, he goes, when God says to the child of God, no, that's the negative. He positively means no. And folks, God, through Paul, is showing us his positive negative. Ladies, you're at odds with each other. You don't have the same thinking on the issue. No. Go together and pray together. You cannot criticize someone you're praying for at the same time. You cannot sit there and criticize this person and then pray with that person or pray for that person. It can't go together. Paul is focusing completely, as we're going to see as we continue through Philippians, there is not a negative thing that he says because he's focused on the positive, the good work that God has done in them, the good work that God is doing through them. Doesn't matter if this person had a terrible background and had a demonic spirit in her. Doesn't matter if this woman was wealthy. It doesn't matter if this guy was a Roman citizen and they were Jews. It doesn't matter what their skin colors were. They were brothers and sisters. They were called saints of God, saints in Philippi. And he says, you guys need to nip that in the bud and don't let that take over. Now, I'm actually preaching more negative than Paul did in that verse. But I want us to see that there is danger in allowing that to happen. And Paul wrote just briefly to say, ladies, take it to Jesus. Get it right. And then he went on. He has memories of the positive as he's thinking about the present. I want to say this and I'm going to close. How many of you, if you just took a minute, could start thinking of people that you're thankful for, Christians that you're thankful for? Just out of curiosity, raise your hand. I want to see how many of you can think. You have memories of people that, raise them up. Some of you don't have good memories. Could you call them by name? When was the last time you let them know? Bob Hope saying, thanks for the memories. The Apostle Paul is thanking God for the memory. But I want you to understand, it's one thing to say, even as we close, Lord, I want to thank you for, and call them by name, Lord, I want to thank you for so-and-so, and so-and-so. Thanking God for them. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He writes a letter to let them all know that are in the present part. You're a joy and a crown to me. When was the last time you did that to somebody? Let's stand for prayer. Let's follow the pattern of the positive as Paul did. Not just to think about those who have been a blessing to us that we are thankful for. Take it. Who knows? They may need to hear that. And your timing is precise. Althea has two sisters. One of them in particular is a card sender. My mom was the same way. But her sister is a card sender. And she'll never miss birthdays, anniversaries, but she also sends them out just to let you know. What a ministry. How many people got, and we don't usually get much mail anymore that's written personally to us, but to open up a thing and you pull it out and you look at it and it's just the right time. You needed to hear that. And you don't know, you're just responding to do it. It's more than just you responding. It's God moving upon you to send it. Don't miss that opportunity. You don't know what it will do in edifying that person that needs to hear it at that time. Our Father, we thank you for the memories. Lord, I think of all the saints that you've allowed me to serve with over the years. Many of those have already gone on. They're already in your presence. They were such a blessing. They were what I needed through the years. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, even now for those memories that are in the present, not just the past, but the present. And I thank you for Regency Baptist Church. We thank you, dear Father, for the memories that we have that you've given us and the joys and the good times we've had, the blessings together. And may we not take that for granted. But I pray, Lord, that even in the present, there are things that could try to trigger us to become negligent in that blessing of good memories. Those people, their families. And we ask, Father, that we'd not go negative, we'd not go south. Spiritually speaking, we'd go forward, dear Father, with a positive outlook. Even though there may be glitches here and there, there are glitches in our lives as well. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And may we allow you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Enable us to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Help us not to grieve him, but help us not to quench him from what we should be doing. And Lord, those people that you bring to our mind, may we jot them down. May we praise you and thank you for them as we lift them up. But may we let them know. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Glorify yourself, dear Father. Very simple message. But may you use it, dear Father, to touch our hearts so that we can touch the hearts of others as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.